You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to talk guide dog blogs here on RNIB Connect Radio, as it is on a regular basis here. And today we are talking public transport. It's a topic we've talked about with many guide dog owners because everyone's dogs are different and it's always nice to hear some stories. Phil Rutter joins us back. Phil, thank you for joining.
That's okay. My pleasure. Thanks, Hubert.
Public transport, something I think we all take quite a lot. Buses, trains, anything else. How's your experience with public transport? You've had many dogs at the end of the day. So, you know, how have been your experiences throughout the years?
I have, yeah. I've had, and obviously the different dogs I've had, I have one of them, 3 dogs ago, actually, quite regular trips to London on the underground. And I found that really good, apart from a couple of times when the lifts are broken and I've had to climb the stairs alongside the escalator, realizing then just how difficult it is and how far escalators go sometimes. And by the time I got to the top, pretty out of breath. Also, years ago, on one occasion, carried my guide dog who weighed nearly 8 stone, lifted him up and carried him up on the escalator, which amused most of the other passengers.
Did you ever have an escalator trained dog?
No.
Did you never request one, or is it because you weren't
able to? No, I didn't. At the time, I mean, because escalators now, the more modern ones, are not so dangerous for the dogs, apparently, they do train them. First, the dogs I'm talking about weren't trained on escalator. We were told not to use them. So in the last 2 dogs I've had, I haven't had occasion to get on the underground. I have been to London a few times, but I always use a taxi.
Do you use taxi for convenience because you can't use escalators, or do you kind of use it because you had to?
I think no, not because I have to. No, I mean because you can use the underground. It's just it can be stressful, and it's just an easier. It is expensive in London, and so normally I would go on a bus. Bus transport is what I do mainly anyway.
Which mode of public transport do you find the easiest to use with a guide dog, buses or trains?
Trains are easier in as much as that you have more room when you're in it, when you're in the carriage. If you're on a bus that's quite full of people, it's sometimes very difficult to get your dog. There's not a lot of room between the seats to slide your dog in. And to make sure that his paws or his tail are not hanging over into the gangway for people to get out on and off the bus.
Do you have any tips for bus travel with your dog?
Well, what I do, and it seems sometimes that you're manhandling your dog, but I get my dog to go just past the seat that we're going to go in, and then get him to lay down, and then I slide him backwards. So that his tail is against the window side, if you like. And I sit on the they're usually double seats. And I'll sit on the outside, and that keeps him tucked away out of people's way. Sometimes you can't, that's an ideal situation. Sometimes, unfortunately, you can't do that. And I go on the side seats if they're there. But then the dog, you know, you've just got to try and keep the dog tight in. It can be a bit of a hazard for other passengers to get past him. So it's difficult in that sense, and it depends on the passengers. Most passengers are really, you know, they just want to stroke him, especially children. To keep them tucked out of the way on modern buses is a bit difficult when you've got a big dog. If you've got a small dog, then obviously that's fine. But my dogs are pretty big that I've had, and although the one I've got now is... He's only 38 kilos, but he's still a fairly big dog.
Have you ever tried moving your guide dog so that he sits under the seat and his head's poking out from kind of between your legs, as it were? Well, because I find that works quite well sometimes, on especially tighter trains.
Yeah, on a train, it's...
Or buses as well.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the buses, because of the seat behind, it's very difficult to do that. It depends on which seat you're on, whether or not you've got room to be able to slide them underneath. Most of the time, I'll slide him in. If there's a 2-seat availability, that's what I do. I slide him in so that his back end is to the window side.
How do you find long train journeys? What tips have you got for long train journeys with your guide dog?
I think if you can take, if you've got a backpack or something, and you can take one of the beds, which are light in weight anyway. It's just like a, I don't know whether you're aware of them, but they're just like a fleece, really. And just to lay that down for the dog to lay on. It just depends on where you've got the space to lay the dog down. But it's just a bit of a comfort thing for the dog. But always, if he's only going to be on any long journey, I'd take the harness off anyway.
That was going to be my next question, because I've heard a lot of people say that if they've taken the dog for, you know, a journey that's more than more like 2 hours or something like that, they will take the harness off to make the dog a bit more comfortable, which I've never tried until recently.
I normally keep the harness in view anyway, so that people can put two and two together, realize it is a guide dog, even though it's not got a harness on at the moment. But it's for the dog's comfort. So anywhere I go, if I go for a long period of time, then I take the harness off, because the dog's comfort is important, you know, especially on a train that's probably, you know, maybe moving about a bit, or even buses, you know, it's difficult.
I find it quite interesting you mentioned the bed situation, because I always think about beds for dogs. This is kind of crossing over to hotels almost, but portable beds for guide dogs, because that's what I find tricky. Most of the beds that I've used, they're not the most portable.
Guide dogs have got them. You can get one off from guide dogs. In fact, when I first qualified, every time I've qualified, I think they've given me a new one.
I'll keep that in mind, because that's something quite useful, especially if it's fairly portable. It's better than
nothing.
Oh,
it's you roll it up and it doesn't weigh. It's very, very light, but it's just a comfort thing for the dog. I mean, if your dog's going to be on a short bus trip into town or something like that, I don't bother. But if it any long journey, I'd certainly, you know, would take it.
Absolutely, and I think it's a good resource to know, because, like me, I didn't know about it until you've just mentioned it. So that is something quite interesting, because even in a hotel room where there's not always the softest space for a dog, even unfolding that might be still better than nothing.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, no, that's a good thing to have with you wherever you go, to be honest. I mean, normally if we take our dogs anywhere because of food and water and everything else, a backpack is usually the order of the day, isn't it? So this vet bed or a vet fleece, or depends who you speak to, a guide dogs, they'll know what you're talking about anyway. They are the fleeces that fit into the bottom of the largest dog beds. You know, the plastic dog beds, or I think they're plastic. Those ones, these fleeces fit in the bottom of them.
Well, there you go. That's a tip. This is what I like about this segment. You learn something new every week, pretty much. So a vet bed, give this a look, a search if you want it, if that might help you with your travels. So that's a few public transport travel tips here. Thank you very much, Phil, for coming on. I'm sure we'll see you again soon here on Guide Dog Blogs on RNIB Connect Radio.
Okay, my pleasure, Hubert. Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.